Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Feline friends, welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. Today we're going to talk about something I've never heard of in cats, but it's apparently something important. We had this show is dedicated to Erin and her cat Rosebud. She wrote in asking about megacolon, and we're going to learn all about it with a special guest. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Dr. Jeff. He's phenomenal. He is an amazing veterinarian, amazing person. He's one of our show hosts and a dear friend. Thank you, Dr. Jeff, so much for coming on Catitude.
Well, Michelle, thanks for having me. I think it's great. I love to educate people about their pets. And if there's anything we can do that gives them a little more information, then I feel like a winner.
So I didn't know what megacolon was at all. And so I did a little educating. And I mean, from the name, it sounds like something to do with a large colon. But it's a fairly serious condition. And then I thought a little bit more about, is it just a temporary? Does it just occur in cats at times? And, you know, any ailment with cats is always interesting because they're stoic creatures and you have to really dig to find out information. So what exactly is megacolon besides, it sounds like large colon, but what is it?
So exactly that. It is a large colon. The question is why? So what happens is there is a normal mechanism of passing food ingesta through the intestine. It's called peristalsis. And that is there. It comes in waves. You have circular muscles and longitudinal muscles, and they sort of work and communicate with each other. So you have a longitudinal muscle will propel something forward, and the circular muscle will make it smaller. And then it's like a snake moving through. So it keeps the things from the stomach, the intestines going through, and each stop is being absorption through the intestine, et cetera. Then finally, we get a number of aspects. You have the duodenum, which is the opening, the first part of the small intestine, goes in to the jejunum, which is the longest part. Then you have the ileum, and then you have what's called the ileocecal-colic junction, and that takes the food, the ingesta, from the ileum into the colon. Colon has almost three sections. It has what's called an ascending colon. It's going up. Then you have a transverse colon. The ascending colon is on the right side. Transverse moves it over to the left. And then you have the descending colon, which is that last spot. And that's the part that seems to be most affected by megacolon. And that is the colon loses its ability to propel the ingesta. So at this point, the stool is sitting in the descending colon. It's not being moved. But what's happening to the stool is one of the jobs of the colon is to resorb that last amount of fluid in the ingesta to make it firm and like normal poop, normal stool. Well, the longer it's sitting there, the longer it's going to resorb any fluid. And now the stool gets rock hard and solid, and there's no way it's going to get moved. So now the colon is getting bigger and bigger. It's getting filled up with no ability to move, propel that stool outside into the rectum. So what happens is the muscular gets worse and worse. It starts as a small problem, and that small problem becomes a big problem. So, and therefore, treatment is going to be predicated on how can we fix this problem of full stool, very hard stool, and very little muscular activity of the colon.
Wow. So what causes this?
You know, there's really no known cause. It just happens. We see it more in cats than dogs. We see it usually in older cats. And it could be age-related. There's no necessarily. Now, if there was a one-point surgery, we always try to avoid surgery of the colon because the feeling is normally, if you're, for example, removing a foreign body from an animal's intestine, once you know it's in the colon, you know what you say is that once it's in the colon, it's going out. So you don't cut into a colon unless you have to. So no one really knows, is there a particular thing that causes it? A dietary problem, maybe there's not enough fiber in the diet. But the bottom line is that there's no known real cause that we know of that we can say, okay, if you do this, it will prevent it. So we don't know what this is.
And when you said no fiber in the diet, could trends like raw diets, and a lot of people are against kibble, adding kibble, could that lead toward?
Well, you know, in general, cats are, as we know, obligate carnivores.
Right.
They don't really typically need to have a lot of fiber in their diet. But if they have one such cat that seems to have this problem, then it might be wise. And we could talk about treatment because there are a number of treatment options. But then it might be wise to add some fiber to the diet.
Okay. Before we talk about treatments, what are some symptoms?
The symptoms are cats that are going to the litter box a lot, trying to defecate, assuming that squatting position, and sometimes vocalizing. Interestingly, it's almost the same symptoms as a male cat that's blocked, who can't pee, they go into the box, they're vocalizing, they have that little stone or something in the urethra,
yep.
And it's the same type of behavior because they're trying, it's hurting them. But then you take an x-ray or all we have to do as veterinarians is palpate the abdomen. And oh my God, you look at an x-ray, it feels like, boy, a horse would be jealous. I mean, there's so much poop in there.
Wow.
You just can't believe it. And it's just backing up.
Well, when you said like male cats with like crystals in the urine.
Uh-huh.
Dennis, he had a different meow, like a different sound, you know, like in pain, but it didn't happen until, again, the stoic creatures with cats. I was not aware of it.
Right, right.
And then finally, we took him to the doctor. One place wanted to put him down. The other
no.
Place, I know. We was like, this crazy. Went to the other, there was, the our vet wasn't open. Went to our vet the next day. They did the surgery. They kept him an extra day. He entertained all of them. Dennis is very, you know, Maine Coon cat-ish.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, his symptoms, I can just imagine how.
Right. So they have to poop, but they can't.
Yeah.
They're trying. They keep trying, but they can't.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your Cat Tree Tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Dr. Jeff, and we're talking about megacolon. Now, Erin, one of our listeners, had wrote in. She, unfortunately, her cat, Rosebud, has this ailment. And so we're talking about megacolon with Dr. Jeff so we can understand it better. Dr. Jeff, does megacolon, before we talk about treatments, does it get confused with anything else, any other type of ailment?
Well, the only thing we can confuse it with is, I said, megacolon can happen male or female cats. Female cats don't typically block urinary tract-wise, but males do. So the idea of going to a litter box frequently, staying there longer than normal, trying to push something out. Again, you can't always tell whether it's going to be the feces or whether it's going to be urine. And if it's a male, you don't know, but it's that, and you'll usually hear a vocalization, which could either be reminiscent of pain or frustration. You don't know, but you know it's not normal. And with any of that, it's time to take your cat into your veterinarian and have him or her evaluated.
Okay, so what would you expect to hear from your veterinarian? I mean, as you talked about, there's three different phases. It could be like beginning phase, and it could be middle, and then it could be, you know, like a full stomach, like you'd mentioned.
Right. So the treatments vary so much. First one, we have to think about I usually start with an enema. You got to get that stuff out of there because it's so uncomfortable for the cat. Prokinetics. Prokinetics are drugs that are like sisapride, and those are drugs that seem to increase the motility, the muscular activity in the colon to, again, try to push things out. We also talk about stool softeners, things like lactulose or Miralax, which is something you can get over the counter. It's added fiber, and it just, again, to soften the stool as it's going through the intestine to make it more comfortable for the cat. And then, again, first thing I got to do is relieve this poor cat's discomfort and pain. So I'll do an enema, sometimes go in digitally, and we'll try to literally scoop out while I'm compressing. And this has to be sometimes done with anesthesia, of course, that I'm pushing on the belly. I'm trying to do what the colon can't do, and that's propel the ingesta out. So I'm pushing it. And as I'm pushing it, we're using, you know, with our digitally, and just, you would not believe some of the size of the stool, the feces that I've gotten out of a cat. As I said, the horse would be jealous. I mean, it's huge. And you say, how did this poor cat survive this? How is it not just going nuts? So anyway, so short term, it's let's get them on prokinetics. Let's get them on stool softeners. And then longer term, then that's where we think about, okay, now that we know this is a problem with the cat, this is where I mentioned, you know, dietary change, getting a more high fiber diet, and that helps control bowel movements. Now, in really bad cases, we may have to do something that I have never done. I haven't had to, fortunately. And if I did, I would not do it. I would send it to a board-certified veterinary surgeon, and that's called a colectomy, where you have to literally cut into part of the colon, and medical management didn't work, and you have to unload, you have to get rid of this stuff. As I said, I'm not a big fan of cutting into a colon. I don't do it. I think there are potential dangers with scarring after the surgery, et cetera. And it's usually recommended not to if you don't have to, but sometimes you may have to. So that's, you know, that's the issue. And then, you know, again, some of you want to work with a veterinarian, but, you know, again, the keys are getting rid of what's in there now, and that might require sedation and a good enema, and literally, digitally removing the feces out of the colon. Doing some sisapride or some sort of prokinetic, which will get the colon moving, a stool softener, okay, and then ultimately adding fiber to the diet.
What about fluids?
Fluids, if the cat is dehydrated, then absolutely. To give some sub-Q fluids or IV fluids, that just might help, again, the body renormalize and maybe can get some propelling action from the colon, just the fact that they feel better.
Okay, thanks. This is so informative. In my research online, I read a lot, and there's a lot of talk about Miralax. What about pet parent thinking their cat probably has megacolon and maybe, you know, stomach feels a little large or whatever, and or hard, and they decide, well, let me give a little Miralax to my cat. I mean, is that something you could try?
Absolutely. It's not going to hurt. Talk to your veterinarian first just about the dose based on the weight of your cat. Or lactulose, which is also one that I recommend. And the idea is to, if you want to try it, it shouldn't hurt, but you don't want to give too much and see if that will help. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, when it gets to the point of almost causing a blockage, it's almost too late for that. But if you can try it and if it works, great. I found that what I try to do is when it's really bad, first step I do is try to clean out the colon. Because once that firm, hard stool is formed, you can't soften it once it's already there. So the whole idea is to keep the stool soft as it's passing through the colon. And the cystopride, the prokinetic, will keep the muscular activity there. Then I think it's going to be more effective.
And once your cat has treatment, it seems like it needs to be ongoing, correct?
Correct.
So can you expect problematic from time to time? Do you need to watch the cat's stool?
Absolutely. I've had cats that have come in almost on an every other week basis for an enema. That colon is just not working, and the stuff doesn't work. And the sad news is that everything else is fine. So what are you going to say no to the cat? You're not going to put him to sleep. So we just go in, we do an enema. We get it earlier now, so we don't have to knock him out. We just give him the enema, helps him. We can just palpate and smoothly push everything out. And they do really well.
Only once a week?
Yep. Yeah.
So it could store that much?
Yeah, they store. But again, you still keep your prokinetics and try to keep the stool soft. If you keep the stool really soft, almost like diarrhea, right? Not watery, but cow patty-ish. We call that different consistencies, all right? I know it sounds gross for...
Gross, but poop is a thing that we have to look at for our
Pet. So you can have it like it squirts. We call it, that's really watery. Or you can have cow patty, which is like soft serve. And
Okay.
What do you say? This is what we talk about.
Now as for pet parents, we have to look at the poop. We have to pay attention to the litter box to see what's going on. They don't really tell us these things, you know.
Right.
What about cat pet parents that are listening out there that thinking, well, if it ever happens, I'm good with my cat. My cat's cool. Can a pet parent give a cat an enema?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What they should do is there are enemas, made. They come with a, long nozzle made for cats and dogs. It comes almost like a syringe. All I recommend is it's almost like teaching a client how to clean ears or teaching a client how to give a shot for insulin if the pet's a diabetic. Or a lot of times people will buy Adequan for our joints and we'll teach them how to give shots. It's really not that difficult. They just should be shown how to do it. So I recommend if your cat is having this problem and may need routine enemas, go in, have your doctor or your nurse, the veterinary nurse, show you how to do it the proper way, and it's something easy to learn.
Okay, what if your vet doesn't want to show you how to do it, which you should know how, because if it ever happens over a holiday or something, and you need to do it.
I can't imagine, again, I don't want to get into it.
I'd rather have you come visit them,
My philosophy is very different.
But some veterinarians will, I'd rather have you come in and...
Right. Of course, and that's fine. But for something that can be taught and the veterinarians don't want to do it, and how crude can I be? I'm going to say it's time to find another vet.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I just don't understand it. What do you care more about? Are you more interested in the pet's welfare or more interested in the money? Okay, now, if the vet said, look, I'm not going to charge you. I just feel more comfortable having one of my technicians do it. I'll show you how to do it in case you're stuck on a weekend. But otherwise, I just, there can be some... Then. That's fine. That's fine. But if they say, no, you have to come in, we're going to charge you for it, then you're looking at a vet whose mind is not necessarily just on the pet's welfare. And I don't like that.
Glad to hear it. We went into that from time to time. I myself have switched vets. I had a vet once that I brought my dog when Mr. Zeus, when he was still alive, obviously. And the vet complained about hair. She had hair on herself. Dog shed it on herself, and she just looked and complained. And I thought, all right, I'm out of there.
Yeah, no. I come home full of hair, and people even say, oh my God, I'm so sorry, Shaggy. I say, what do I? You think I really care? I do this for a living. I go home, my dogs think I'm cheating on them, but it is what it is.
One of those things, right? So, final and closing, what would you have to say to a cat parent who's just gotten the diagnosis that their cat has megacolon and is maybe just so worried about it? How are they going to do the ongoing care? Is it going to be, shorten your cat's lifespan, or, they're just anxious about it? What would you tell them?
I would say that in most cases, it is a manageable condition. It may not be curable, but certainly manageable. Some need more management than others. And don't fret, not yet. Let's try these things, work with your veterinarian. The worst scenario is you have to give enemas on your own, which isn't so terrible. And even learn how to palpate a cat. And as you can see, when's it getting really bad? And these are things that can be taught. And if you are queasy about it, that's okay. just routinely. I had a client that had an old Yorkie. She was a Yorkie rescue, and she didn't feel comfortable giving. She's given subcutaneous fluids before, but this dog was so frail, she wasn't comfortable doing it. And she came in every day, all right, for subcutaneous fluids. We charged a whopping $10, and mostly just for the tech time. And dog lived for, oh God, an extra year and a half. We finally put it to sleep, or died at almost 17.
Wow.
So, as I said, not curable, but certainly manageable.
Well, I want to thank you so much. Let's tell listeners where they can find out more about you and about your live show.
Well, I'm doing it right here on Pet Life Radio. I am on every Sunday morning, 9 in the West and noon in the East and wherever in between. It's Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff. And I also do that along with my Instagram Live. So IG Live, and I am Werbs. That's my nickname since I'm like literally a kid in camp. Werbs_DVM. And you can find me on Instagram. I'd love to have you follow. You can also get a hold of me pretty much anytime. And also, I am Chief Veterinary Officer at AirVet. We're the largest pet telemedicine platform in the United States. And you have access to a veterinarian literally 24/7 within 1 to 2 minutes. You're going to be live. So you might want to download that. It's an app. And it's called AirVet. And you can always get me here at drjeff@petliferadio.com.
Dr. Jeff, thank you so much for coming on Catitude.
Thanks for having me. And I hope your listeners feel comfortable joining my show on a Sunday or just at Pet Life Radio, Dr. Jeff at Pet Life Radio. If you have questions, you're not really getting satisfied with your answers from your veterinarian, please reach out to me. Just let me know you work with Michelle and I'll be happy to help you.
Well, I hope you all enjoyed our show. I want to give a thanks to Dr. Jeff. Thank you so much for coming on Catitude and telling us all about megacolon. I know my listening audience is much more informed than they ever were, so thank you so much. Thank you for listening to Catitude. I greatly appreciate your loyalty. Thanks to my cat crew, Dennis, Molly, and Charlotte. Patiently listen to me and let me rub their bellies, and I'm grateful that they do not have megacolon and hope they stay that way. My thoughts and prayers and hopes and wishes for Aaron and Rosebud, listeners to Catitude that wrote in to ask about megacolon. Aaron, I hope you're able to take good care of Rosebud and she is able to, you know, function as best she can with her condition. And of course, thank you so much to my producer, Mark Winter, for working his magic and making each episode sound amazing. And remember, lose the attitude, have Catitude.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.